Hello and welcome to another edition of the Marlena program, heard this time each week on ACB Radio Mainstream. I want to welcome you on in and invite you to sit down, put your feet up, get your dialing finger ready, bring in your favorite beverage, and just kind of enjoy the next couple hours with us. We got a lot going on tonight, and so we're just going to jump right on in here on the Marlena Show, right here on ACB Radio at the Mainstream. All right, this is the week of, what is this? This is the week of June the 18th. Wow. Whew, where is it going? I do not know. I am Marlena. Welcome on in. And the telephone number to call once we open the lines is 866-666-7926. Let me do a little bit of housekeeping first, and then we'll talk about tonight's show, which should be an interesting one. Indeed. If you're listening to this program between the hours of 6 and 7 Pacific p.m. on a Sunday night, or 9 to 10 Eastern p.m. on a Sunday night, or 1 to 2 Universal on a very early UTC Monday morning, you are listening live. If you're hearing the program at hours other than those times, it's a repeat. So just put your feet up, relax, enjoy the show, and maybe you'll catch us live next week. If you are listening live, we encourage your calls, your input, your comments at 866-666-7926. In the second hour, although our first guests may go into the second hour, which would be great with me, but whatever we have left after our guests are through, we'll be doing open forum. And what that means is if you called during the first segment, you absolutely may call back during the open forum segment if you wish. But please, only one call per segment. So if you call in this first segment, please don't call back again in the first segment, but feel free to call in the second segment. Want to remind you that next week on the Marlena program, we will have, I hope, all three, and yes, there are three candidates for ACB president joining us. I have established a mailbox to which you can email your questions in advance of the show. We will definitely try to get to as many phone calls as we possibly can. But in the event that the lines get busy, and since we will be giving all three candidates equal time to answer all questions, you may wish to send your question in by email. If you choose to do that, you can do so starting today. And that address is convention@acbradio.org. That's convention@acbradio.org. Well, enough of all of that stuff. Let's bring in our guests for tonight. We're sort of going to do this one at a time, although we get two for the price of one. And the guests tonight are Roger Peterson and then Bernice Kandarian. Roger and I serve on the ACB Information Access Committee, and we have a whopper of a program planned for conventioneers on Saturday, June the 30th, and Roger's going to talk to us about that. And if I know Roger, maybe a few other things as well. Hey, Mr. Roger, how are you?
Gee whiz, I get to be on the show without dialing in.
Woohoo!
And without buying it at the auction.
Woohoo! And without buying it at the auction, that's right. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right.
Well, good, good. It's beginning
to get the pre-convention whatever.
Do you get excited before convention? I do.
I get sort of excited and sort of anxious. I think. What am I going to forget?
Yeah, what am I going to forget? And yeah. and what if I don't know who this person is who's speaking to me?
Yeah.
But I get excited starting, you know, sort of like now, actually, thinking about, oh my gosh, and there's so much to do, and there's so many people to see, and there's so many places to go, and how to get it all in. And it, to me, convention is just it can be frustrating. It can be.
Yeah, Bernice and I are talking about the possibility of someday not going to the convention anymore. We've both got 30 or more conventions under
our
belt. Wow. And without missing one, you know.
Wow. That's phenomenal. Well,
this is 31 for me, so it's the actual 30th anniversary of my starting to go to ACB convention.
Well, you can't not go, because what would happen? I mean, my gosh, that would be like, you know, a pillar of the convention would fall down. And then we'd have to blame both you guys.
I guess.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Information Access Committee before we get on to the program. And certainly, you know that I know the answers to most of the questions I'm going to ask you since I'm on the committee. But since it is you who are speaking for the committee tonight, tell us a little bit about the committee and its charge.
Well, actually, it was, I think, I'm not sure whether Debbie Cook was the first chair. Anyway, what happened was that there was an Environmental Access Committee, and it was felt as though there was enough stuff between, you know, architectural barriers and curb cuts and the bumpy tile things at the curbs and all that stuff, and on the other hand, you know, electronic, you know, web access and information access, essentially, that there needed to be two committees. And I know that the Information Access Committee was there for a while and not terribly active, and I believe Debbie Cook was my predecessor as chair, and then, and now, I'm still serving on the committee, but we have Susan Mazrui as chair, and she's, I think Marlena will agree with me, she's a very well-organized person and very activist, and even though she does work for the corporate sector.
Absolutely.
But basically, we are concerned with all kinds of access to information, as opposed to access to buildings and rooms and steps and that kind of stuff.
Now,
transportation.
Does access to information only mean electronic access to information?
Well, it seems as though electronics get in there somewhere, no matter what you're doing. But I certainly was trying to, when I was trying to beef up the committee and add people to it and so forth, trying to get, you know, concerns about, adequate access to Braille, including Braille music, and, you know, getting systems set up. There was some talk of having a Braille music system, sort of like Bookshare. So I don't really see it as being limited to computer kind of access, although, as I say, even you know, talking on the telephone nowadays or doing almost any kind of information acquisition involves some kind of electronic access, because now that we have computers, we don't have to just let the Library of Congress or somebody way off in the distance there decide which books will we have in Braille and which ones will we have on audio and so forth. We can have the book come to us in a form that can be converted by us into either Braille or large print or audio or whatever. And so I have said, and I still believe, that that computer technology, that even if you don't use a computer, computer technology is the greatest thing for blind people for acquisition of information since Braille.
Boy, I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely. It's just, it's phenomenal what we can read now.
I grew up thinking that, you know, it was lucky if I needed to find out about some topic, it was lucky if there would be one book.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of still in information overload now.
And you know, the thing I find really interesting, and we're sort of straying a little, but not much, and that's okay. But the thing I find really kind of interesting, I have a young friend, maybe you know her or know of her, Nikki Kobe is her name.
Yeah, I met her.
Oh, okay, that's right. Maybe I introduced you to her. But, you know, she has just self-published a book, which is like, my gosh. But the thing that I find really interesting is Nikki will say to me, well, I'm reading this book. And I'll say, oh, well, where did you get it? Oh, I got it on Bookshare. Well, and that's great. I can't sit down with a synthesizer and read a book, because that's not how I was brought up. That's not the thing that I've experienced. And yet there are young people like Nikki, and even people younger than she, who are making their way through college, having instant access to much of what they need, and doing it with a synthesizer or a Braille display. And I just think that's fascinating.
Yep. Yeah, you really can do for real research and for real reading stuff that just came out now.
Yeah, it's
and you can really choose what you want to read rather than reading what somebody else has chosen for you.
Yeah. And another area of information in which I know you're interested is the audio description. You want to talk about that a little bit? I know we sort of didn't plan
this is part of the purview of the committee, too. We are very interested in the revival of the FCC rules that were going to require a certain amount of description on television, and then the courts and the industry and another organization of the blind thought that we ought not to have that, and we've been working in Congress trying to get it back. But also, we'd like to see, you know, the describers organize themselves and develop standards and develop, you know, more ways in which description is available, so that ultimately, and I understand at the Kennedy Center, they have to a certain extent that you can actually tell them you want to go to a certain performance of a play, and they will get that performance described for you.
Yeah.
And,
now you were at the Kennedy Center for the first audio described play, weren't you? The Helen Keller play?
No, I wasn't there.
You weren't
the Helen Keller play.
Oh my gosh, I was. I thought you were.
But I was around in D.C. in those days, and I remember going to describe performances at the Kennedy Center and at the National Theater.
Oh, there's nothing like audio description in D.C.
La Cage aux Folles. One of the first ones.
The way Margaret Rockwell Fansteel trained those describers is just
Yes, and we just lost Cody recently.
Yes, yes.
At age 90 or something like that. And
just amazing.
I knew him even before he knew Margaret. I knew him.
So did I.
For Metro.
So did I.
Yeah, we used to call him. Used to say it was the union of the Washington ear and the Washington mouth.
That's right, because he was the spokesperson for Metro, and Margaret ran the Washington ear, yeah.
Which was the radio reading service, yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, we digress. We digress. So, did I cut you off? Did you want to say anything else about audio description?
Oh, the only thing I was going to say was that my epitome, or my prototype audio description experience was in La Cage aux Folles, where there was a big laugh in the audience, and if I hadn't had audio description, I wouldn't have known what the laugh was. It seems that one of the characters walked up to a nude statue, removed the penis from it, and lit his cigarette with it.
Okay.
And so, I think that funny. I think that tells the story of why we need audio.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, the thing that sold me on audio description was 42nd Street.
Ah.
And the dancing and at one point I remember the two main characters were Billy and Peggy. And at one point Billy and Peggy are dancing and the describer, and of course this was in DC, I think at the National Theater maybe, but the describer, who was of course one of these beautifully trained describers, picked up the beat of the music and she would say,
heel toe.
Yeah, and she would say, Peggy kick, Billy turns, Peggy spins, Billy twirls.
Yeah, not all describers can do that.
Oh, it gave me goosebumps. It gave me goosebumps to know that I was knowing exactly what the sighted people in the audience were knowing. So,
right.
So there you go. All right, let's move on to the Information Access Committee meeting on June 30th. Let's see if you know more about it than I do, because I'm not sure what I know. So I'm hoping to learn a lot from you. And it will be on June 30th at convention from 2 to 5. And I think there's a $3 fee to attend.
Yeah, and I just want to say about that we apologize for that, but we feel that we have to have some equipment at that session, and we need to cover it. And anyone that thinks that our fees are high hasn't ever gone to CSUN.
Tell me about it.
But anyway, we have been meeting on Saturdays lately, on the first Saturday of the convention, and we try to have an interesting set of presenters about things that are going on related to information access, and I think this is going to be a good one. We got a good MC, too. I think we got somebody named Marlena who's going to be doing something.
Oh, gosh, not her again.
But
darn, couldn't you guys get anybody else?
two to five, approximately. And it's going to be in segments. The first thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a little bit of a introduction and sort of review of what the committee's been doing and what some of our concerns are that will be presented by our chair, Susan Mazrui. And then we will go into a segment on home appliances. There's been a lot of concern among blind people about the modern home appliances that we can't operate. And part of the problem is that there's no very good legal leverage, because it's not access under ADA and so forth. ADA, a lot of people think that ADA requires everything to be accessible, but really, you know, it says that you can, ADA says that you have to be able to get into the bookstore, but it doesn't say that you have to be able to read all the books.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about that, and Darren Burton from the American Foundation for the Blind, who's doing this kind of stuff at their, what do they call that technical thing that they have?
Oh, in West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Technology Access Center or something like that.
Yeah, in Huntington, West Virginia. Interesting place to put a facility. Anyway, that's the first segment, and we expect to have a good deal of audience participation in that. We hope that it won't be a matter of, you know, kind of a whining session or anything like that, but we'd like to get the audience to participate with us in what they found that works, and so we can kind of feel that there are some partial answers and some workarounds, even if there isn't very much full accessibility in this area. The second segment is going to be on, and this will be at about 3 o'clock, is going to be on, it's an area that an ACB resolution has addressed, and we're trying to implement this resolution as best we can. There's concern that the blessings of the internet be available to, even to people who don't use computers or who are not near their computers at the moment. And there are some services that provide the internet over the telephone. And we expect to have either one or two of those services represented. My friend Imdad Khan, who's here in San Jose and is the CEO of Internet Speech, they have a system called NetEcho where you can get on the telephone, call a number, and dial up and use voice recognition, speech recognition to get pretty much any kind of, any web page you want, and also do email.
Including, you can listen to ACB radio.
Yeah, that's right. They can do streaming as well. Screaming.
Well, some ACB radio, you know, some of our DJs like
fast,
to scream.
Fast,
yeah.
There's a man named Tom Lutkowski who works for AOL, who I believe is going to be there and tell us something about AOL by phone, which is another alternative way of getting access to the internet without a computer. So we hope that that will be one solution. I know in the case of internet speech that we have some members who are in fact using it as a means of accessing the internet without accessing a computer. And then the last part of the program will be all about the current status of cell phones and cell phone access. And we expect to have some representatives from the carriers, the service providers, to tell us where they are and what they've got to show us that we can use. And we put it last specifically so that folks can talk to them afterwards and play with their telephones and so forth if they have them, because we don't anticipate that we'll have time to do, to pass the phones around and do full demonstrations and so forth. But we do intend to do a little bit of a demonstration of the smartphone with the current, we now have software that is loadable, like JAWS or Window Eyes, but onto these smartphones, these sort of combination PDAs and telephones that are available. And we do intend, we do believe that we're going to have someone from Code Factory, I believe.
It's actually going to be Larry Lewis, who will be representing Code Factory. I got a message from
him
this week.
There you go. And so we hope that all of this stuff will be of interest. And we often have a pretty good attendance at these meetings, and we think that and the fact that it's at the beginning of the convention will mean that you will be able to, have this information before you go to the exhibit hall and so forth. And I know that at least some of these people are going to be in the exhibits. I know that MDAD from Internet Speech told me that he is going to be in the exhibits all week. So,
and I think Code Factory will, and I also think some of the carriers will too. So,
So
when you check into the hotel and your room isn't ready, you can just pop on over to the Information Access Committee meeting at 2 o'clock.
Yeah. By the way, there's going to be some interesting information access changes around the convention. I understand that now there's going to be, we're beginning to make specific preparations for people who have electronic technology with them so that there is an email list that's been set up that they're going to put the newspaper on and the program and all that stuff. And there's also, they also are going to be prepared to take your flash card or your diskette or whatever and put stuff on it in the information center or the press room at the convention. So
yeah, it should be.
We're gradually getting into the 21st century here.
Should be very cool this year. We've opened the lines. The telephone number is 866-666-7926, and we'll be right back after these brief messages. Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. All right, we are back, and we'll bring Roger back in here. There you go, Roger, you're back in. Aren't you glad?
Am I back in?
You're back in.
Okay.
Yeah, it's information access is a really interesting thing because, you know, for some people, having Braille, that's information access. That's what they want. And for others, it's the electronic. And for still others, it's the large print. And I really think that ACB is doing a remarkable job this year of trying to meet the needs of or meet the requirements for information that sort of represent a variety of different ways to get that information. I think that's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, things get better every year, and I'm on the SASE list, which is the sight and sound impaired, and I know that some of the people on that list who are hearing impaired substantially, besides being blind or visually impaired, are planning to come to the convention, so I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, and that presents a whole new challenge for information access. How do we get interpreters? How do we manage, you know? Because that, for people who need deafblind interpreting, that's pretty much a one-on-one situation.
Yeah, and I have to say that Lori Scharf of the SASE committee has been doing a bang-up job trying to get people paired up with interpreters and assistants and so forth.
Yeah, Lori has got a lot of good energy.
When I worked at Telesensory, Lori was one of my customers that I used to talk to on the phone. And when I first knew her, she was about 12 years old.
You're dating yourself now.
And now she's an adult. There was a series of kids that I worked with when I was at Telesensory that have now grown up, and I run across them at the conventions and so on.
Now, let's talk a little bit about that in terms of your involvement and your watching sort of the blindness information age evolve, if you will. Was Telesensory the first opportunity you had to dabble in the arena of adaptive technology?
Well, you know, I worked around Washington, D.C. for a good while, and I started learning about technology in order to do my own job accommodation, because in those days there weren't people around to do it for you, kind of. And
yeah.
So I started doing computers and VersaBrailles and that sort of thing in that context. And I, David Holliday of Raise.Computing,
told me that
I was customer number 29 of Raise.Computing.
That's funny.
That was back when they were selling the Braille Edit program, which was designed to make the VersaBraille, the tape-based VersaBraille, work with the Apple computer to become a pretty powerful file processing and word processing system.
So were you using an Apple?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I still have an Apple IIe sitting here.
Wow.
And it had the Echo speech card in it.
Oh, I remember the Echo speech card.
And and you hooked it up to the VersaBraille also, so you had Braille, and it really worked well. It actually controlled the VersaBraille. It would make the VersaBraille go to the next file and so forth.
You know, I bet there are some people listening who don't know what a VersaBraille is. I have quite a variety in my audience of ages. Why don't you tell people a little bit about that VersaBraille? Because everyone says, well, you know, it was the Braille and Speak that really cracked it. And I think that's true in terms of portability and affordability. But
yeah,
really,
I think the Braille and Speak was the first piece of technology that I bought by just putting down a credit card.
Yeah, yeah.
But didn't have to arrange a bank loan.
Exactly, exactly. But really, the VersaBraille, I don't know, I think the VersaBraille really cracked the barrier. And why don't you tell people, what is the VersaBraille, or what was it?
It certainly gave us all an idea of what could be, even though it was, you know, it was not all that well implemented at the time, and it was very expensive and so forth. But it was a terminal that used Braille input and Braille output, and you could plug it into the computer, as I mentioned, or you could plug it into a modem and communicate over a telephone line. The first when we started working with Bank of America here in California, when we moved here in 1986-87, they had a teletype kind of interface for online banking, and you just dialed a certain number and turned on your modem and talked to it with your VersaBraille. And it just, you know, it asked you, what do you want to do? And you typed in a command. It was like a command line prompt thing. Now, of course, it's on the web. And we keep, every time I learn to use it, well, it changes.
Well, it changes in Washington, too, so yeah. I think they're keeping us on our toes. You guys want talking ATMs? You're going to pay for them.
Yes, indeed.
I think so. So the VersaBraille, was that your first piece of, you know, other than the Echo card for the Apple, was that your first piece of adaptive technology that you really got into?
Yeah, I actually borrowed the VersaBraille from Chris Gray and used it in a job that I had in D.C. And then that was actually before I got the Apple, I think.
Wow.
And we were using the VersaBraille, as I say, connected directly to a phone line through a modem. And, and I had this weird old electric typewriter that I could plug it into. It was one that stands on the floor.
Oh, yes, the mag cards.
Yeah. So, there are all kinds of false starts and blind alleys or visually impaired alleys, maybe. And in fact, I was just yesterday at our chapter meeting here locally. Our speaker was Debbie Norling, who used to own Grassroots Computing, and she wrote that she said she's the only girl that ever wrote a screen access program, which was called Video Voice. So
wow.
There you go.
Wow, there you go. She's
that
also
was back in the olden days too. Now she's the, speaking of information access, Debbie's now the alternate media person at De Anza College, the local community college. She's the one who sees that the students get their books and the media they need.
Oh, that she would be great at that. She's also an amateur radio operator.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, she is indeed.
She worked with me at Telesensory, and her husband, Bob Armstrong, was an engineer at Telesensory, too. So
the telephone number to call is 866-666-7926. So you went.
Yeah, you know, it's Father's Day. Nobody's listening.
I know. They're all cooking on the grill with their dads. Actually, what I find when we don't get a lot of calls, people say to me, well, you asked the question I was going to ask. So, but I could see the listeners, and we have listeners, so not to worry.
You know, one thing I want to mention that's relevant to IAC is that there's a lot of talk in ACB, it has been for a number of years, about the difference between committees and affiliates. And in the case of IAC, the Information Access Committee, we we have some overlap with BITS, which is Blind Information Technology Specialist,
yes,
which is an affiliate. But it's important to note that a committee is an arm of ACB itself. That is, it serves at the pleasure of the president and the board of ACB and provides ACB with services that it needs or wants, whereas an affiliate is self-organized for its own purposes, basically. But there certainly needs to be, you know, we need to be talking to each other, and we've been trying to do that. We have cross-fertilization between IAC and BITS, and there probably are other committees and affiliates that have some overlap or at least some relationship, and people talk about should something be an affiliate or a committee, and I think that sometimes a committee works well because you don't have to spend a lot of time electing officers and writing constitutions and doing that
yes.
stuff. You just do what you want to do.
Get on with the business in hand.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, I know that both you and I have no idea whether we will be serving on the Information Access Committee at this time next year, because we will have a new president. But what is your vision? If someone said to you, Roger Peterson, you are empowered to determine the direction and the primary emphasis for the Information Access Committee for the American Council of the Blind, what would that be?
Oh, dear. It's awfully easy to get involved in all kinds of little things that pop up and not have apparently an overall big picture. But, you know, the big picture has to be that the biggest problem with being blind is can generally be boiled down, even the transportation issues a lot of times. But a lot of the problems of being blind are information access problems. And what we really want, I think, is for there to be access to all the information we need to function and do the things that we would do if we weren't blind. Be involved in whatever civic activities or jobs or education or whatever. And, you know, it's coming. I mean, like I said, now we've got Debbie and people like her in the community colleges working with the students to get their textbooks and so forth. When, you know, in my day, we sort of just did the best we could on our own to get books on tape or books in Braille or whatever. And so, you know, it's gradually coming along, and we have to face issues like the issue on the currency. You know, we have the accessible currency suit that ACB brought against the Treasury Department, rightly, I think, saying that the issuance of currency is a federally operated program, and the Section 504 of the Rehab Act says that federally operated programs must provide equal access for people with disabilities. And when we can't tell one bill from another, we don't have that. But the folks in the National Federation of the Blind are saying, no, it's really not discrimination, and it will make people think ill of us. It will make people think that we are not competent if we admit that we have any problems handling money. And I think even though it's between organizations, that issue, I suspect that issue exists within ACB as well. That is, I bet there are people in ACB, and I've heard them on lists and so forth, say, we ought not to do this because it'll make people think that we're incompetent. It's not a high priority or whatever.
Let me tell you, just today, just hours ago, I made a little agreement with Gary. I said, hey, look, it's Father's Day. I'm going to take you out to breakfast. And we have this wonderful, very small, cozy wine shop that has a wine bar in it as well. And they were doing some special things today for Father's Day. So I said, I'm going to take you to breakfast, and then we'll go down to Vino Bello. And we'll hang out for a while, and then we'll come on back home. And so we did that, and I made my purchases at Vino Bello. And then some other people came in just as we were getting ready to leave, and we started to chat with them. And I said, you know, I'm going to have another glass of wine. So rather than paying on a credit card for one glass of wine, she told me what the amount was, and I handed her two fives and a one. And she said, well,
one glass of wine.
Well, I was going to get my change back. And she said, wait, this is only $3. I thought she was kidding. I said, oh, come on, it is not. And then she became embarrassed, and she held up the money, and Gary said, no, it's only $3. I was cheated. In Washington, D.C., because I know.
And you didn't know it.
And
until
I didn't
now.
Know it until I embarrassed myself and my friend who owns the store.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, thank you, NFB. I wish that you could have been here to be in both our shoes. It was embarrassing for both of us.
Yeah.
So I'm.
And, you know, the thing is that, as I said about the home appliances earlier, there are workarounds. We know we all have developed ways of working in our everyday life, and it doesn't happen too often that something happens like you just had. But the fact is that workarounds in inaccessible environments are not the same thing as accessibility.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And we can do both things and still know the difference.
Exactly. Precisely. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. Gosh, 2 weeks from tonight will be an opening session.
Yeah, we will.
You even
It'll
imagine.
It'll run too late, too.
Oh, it's going to be a good one, though. It's going to be a good one. Mark my words. I know something you don't.
Okay. Well, mark your words.
Mark my words. Mark them down on your Versa Braille. Well, thank you so much, Roger Peterson, for joining us, and I'm looking forward to having you help me with the Information Access Committee hosting business. I don't know how I got into that this year, but I guess that's what happens.
You're a star.
Yeah, right. I'm an descending meteor or something. And, but hey, we should have a good time. And again, folks, if you are coming to convention, please do join us. It's $3 and you're going to come out of there with a lot of good information, an opportunity to talk with Darren Burton, who is just absolutely a star with respect to appliance accessibility, the opportunity to look at cell phones.
Yeah, he's going to do the cell phone panel too, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And, you know, there's just going to be so much packed into that 3 hours. And let me warn you that last year we had standing room only in the meeting room. So get there early, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the Information Access Committee meeting. And now we'll switch guests. Do-do, 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 do-do. That's a little interlude. Do-do, do-do. I don't very often get two for the price of one, but that is the way it is tonight. And boy, am I excited, because another committee on which I have the honor of serving and working, although I have to say that I feel like this year my contribution was minimal, is the Women's Concerns Committee. And the person who so ably chairs that committee is my longtime friend, Bernice Kandarian. Hey, Bernice.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm hanging in.
Well, there you go. You've been not well this year, so it's especially a treat to know that you're back and feeling better and talking and getting ready for yet another Women's Concerns Committee program.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about the Women's Concerns Committee. What is it and why is it?
Well, I don't know if I have a definition of what it is, but the why is that at the 1974 convention, which was in Chicago, the host committee wanted to come up with something new and different, and that was the host committee chairperson was Bradley Burson, and it was his idea to come up with this Women's Concerns Committee. And what their thinking was that a lot of women, after at the point at which they leave school, they never change their hairstyle or their style of clothing. And so that's where it started. And in 1976, Billy Elder from Little Rock took over chairing the committee. She always called me, she always said, Kandarian, be there. And it's gone through a number. It used to meet just for a couple of hours on Thursday evening, and then we started having expanded programming and whatever. This year, we had sort of hoped to have a little more programming than we ended up with, but I couldn't talk to people on the phone. At least they couldn't understand me. So it was a little tricky trying to get our ducks in a row. And a lot of the things that we had hoped to do didn't pan out. And one of the things, that, for instance, was we were wanting to have a tour to the QVC store at the Mall of America and have them do some presentations to us, but that just didn't work out. One of our committee people, Denise Peterson, actually went there last August to check things out, and it just did not gel for us. So I guess what I want to say is that what my vision for what Women's Concerns is about. I've tried to have a sort of a three-pronged program that we do something in the area of women's health, that we do something in the area of interpersonal relationships, and that we try to do something a little more mainstreamed. And so this year, what we're going to start out with on Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock, which will be facilitated by Marlena, is a session on what message are you getting from me, and a chance to talk candidly, for women to talk candidly. And we started last year with this, and it seemed to be a very popular session, and people expressed a lot of interest in wanting to continue it this year, so we will see how well it goes. And people also wanted it earlier in the week so that they could connect with people and have more time to interact with each other.
So that's Monday at 3?
Mm-hmm.
And how long does that go till?
Till 4 or 4-ish. Whenever you finish.
Okay. That could be 6 weeks. You know? We'll be there next year. Might as well bring the convention back.
Yeah. Or a few minutes thereafter. If it's going really well right at 4, you give it a few minutes.
Sure.
Like that. We had hoped to have another joint session with the Recreation Zone on Monday. Last year we did a Pilates, introduction to Pilates, and it was very well received. We had 51 people in there.
Wow.
And we had gotten a donation of TheraBands from the company that produces those things. And we asked for 35 because usually they have, 20, 25, 30 people at the session. And we thought we had plenty, but we ended up with 51, which was great because, and the ladies that did the presentation were just terrific, and in fact, they have expressed interest in wanting to do a training package specifically geared to people with visual impairment. so I thought that was great. And, you know, they'd start to say like this, and then they'd catch themselves, and then she'd switch into the mode of really describing,
what
was going on. The other thing we did was, you know, room setup is really crucial in some of these, in a lot of the programs that I like to do. And so what we did was we removed every other chair of theater style so that as people, as they were talking about, you know, the specific movement, if somebody was having difficulty, they could run around amongst the chairs very easily and show the person, you know, correct them as to how they were supposed to be doing it.
Sure.
And it worked out really, really well. And so, unfortunately, the lady in Minneapolis called just a couple of days ago and said she just couldn't work it out because of the holiday week and so many people being off and whatever. But she said she loves to do these things to keep her in mind for next year, so we will see her availability. What we are going to do on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I like to start our programs at 2 so that people have a chance to finish with their luncheons and get to the next item. And we're going to have a session that will be presented by Connie David, and it's Financial Independence for Women. Connie has a book that was just supposed to be published online the 15th of June called It's Your Money, You Keep It. What she has asked is if people have specific questions, would they please contact her in advance so that she can be sure to address their issues. But she also wanted to make it clear that she doesn't give investing advice and that sort of thing. She just wants to be sure that she answers, you know, people's questions. And I think that's going to be a really great session because what we're experiencing here is that, you know, our benefits go up a certain percent, but every time we go to the grocery store or the produce market or whatever, everything is going up by a much greater percentage than
sure.
And it's become unbelievable. And poor Roger, he has his certain little things he likes, and one of them is Klondike bars.
Oh dear.
And Klondike bars they were marked $6.29 for a box of six, and we don't buy them when they're that price. But they were two boxes for $6, so I said, so we took him to the store on Friday, and I said, you can have some. but you know, even my oatmeal went up from 65 cents a pound to 79 cents a pound. And, you know, and every time I go to the market, it's a different, everything is a different price. So I'm really looking forward to trying to learn more about how to manage our money in a way that makes us a little more secure.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think it's critical. I mean, there's so little that so many of us have been taught about managing our money that I think it's a great thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me. When Roger and I first started spending time together, he had this computer, and I wanted to learn how to use a computer, and he didn't know how to write a letter on the computer. I mean, he knew how to write a letter, but not how to format it on whatever.
Yeah.
And so it took about 3 months for us to get through that process. The process of my trying to teach him the formatting of a letter taught me some things about using the computer.
And
he got to the point where, you know, he would go and write a letter and print it out all by himself without, you know, any sighted intervention. But what I discovered in all of that, and he was talking about using the VersaBraille to do online banking when we first moved here, he had never been taught anywhere along the way what a bank statement looked like and how to reconcile it.
Yeah, Yeah, I still have trouble reconciling my bank statement. I mean, I just, no one has ever taught me how to do that. Now, I know the theory behind it, obviously, but it never works.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't work. Let me just give out the phone number to call. It's 866-666-7926. I'm chatting now with Bernice Kandarian, who is the chair of the women's, oh my gosh, what's women's concerns? Sorry, I almost said the Women's Information Committee. Oh, it's been a long day. The Women's Concerns Committee for the American Council of the Blind. And Bernice and I are talking about the upcoming program at the ACB convention for the Women's Concerns Committee. And of course, the ACB convention is being held in Minneapolis from June 30th to July the 8th. And I think it's going to be a pretty exciting year. And oh yeah, we're having a few elections. So this is a convention not to miss. And I think both hotels are pretty well sold out. That's what I've heard.
Uh-huh.
So now the Women's Concerns Committee, sometimes when I think some people think about the Women's Concerns Committee, they kind of think about sort of how it started out with dealing with fashion and makeup. And while those things are certainly not to be avoided, because whether we like it or not, part of how the message we give to the world is framed partly in how we look to the world. But the Women's Concerns Committee has really branched out, I think, to deal with things like this financial seminar. Last year we had the breast cancer awareness seminars. And, you know, I guess I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Roger about the Information Access Committee. None of us knows who will be serving on that committee at this time next year because we'll have a new president. But if you could define what the Women's Concerns Committee should be and where its emphasis should be placed as a woman who is visually impaired, how would you define it?
Well, as I said, I have been trying to work on a three-prong approach, you know, different areas, and I think that that needs to be expanded to maybe a five-prong approach to topics, because a topic that is of interest to one person isn't necessarily of interest to all women, and I said that badly, but, you know, that is of interest to a few women is not necessarily of interest to all women. And we do usually try to do something about clothing or makeup or you know, something in that realm.
And, you know, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a second.
Sure.
Now that I asked you the long question, let me do the top of the hour stuff, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hi, this is Marlena. Have you been listening to ACB Radio for a while and wonder how you can help? Well, there's a Donate to ACB Radio link now available from the main page at www.acbradio.org. And thank you so much for listening to ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. You're listening to Marlena at the mainstream of acbradio.org and WTNDLP Macomb 106.3 FM. Alrighty, now, how do you like a host that rudely interrupts the guest? I suddenly looked down and went, whoops, we got to do this first. So go ahead. So you were talking about, you've traditionally had a three-pronged approach, but now you're thinking it should be perhaps even a five-pronged approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It, you know, I think that, that the personal appearance, parts, you know, need to be, included, more frequently. By more frequently, I mean is that should be, we should identify five different areas and try to do something in each of those areas each time. One of the things that I had envisioned was trying to do something about color and style, and I did some advanced research on that, and I was never quite able to pull that together. I also tried to pull something together for makeup optional skin to have a presentation on skincare. I've also probed trying to get something of a speaker who was not available this year but might be in the future from Birkenstock to talk about shoes. I mean, that isn't the only shoe company, but that was one that was based out of Minneapolis that I thought maybe we could get at the convention.
Yeah, sure.
Those haven't panned out. But, Marlena, I don't know, were you at the 92 convention in San Francisco? 93 was in San Francisco.
Yes, yeah. I was.
Yep. And we did a women's concerns thing in the evening where Nordstrom came and, I had gotten 19 volunteers from the community, and so that each table, which was a round of like 10 people, had one or two volunteers. That we did a fragrance seminar in scarf tie, and for the scarf tie, then the volunteers were able to go around and actually, you know, help each person understand what was being presented. And I thought that worked out really well. And the lady that talked about accessories and whatever did a great job of explaining. And then when when it was over with, she said that people could purchase things that she had been using to demonstrate and with. And there was this big dive to the table. It was like a beehive. And it was nice to have product there that people could purchase. They could purchase the fragrances or accessories or whatever.
I think it's getting back to appearance, because I think, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, you know, a guy or a girl, appearance is appearance, and it matters. But I don't know how we... I don't know how we communicate the fact that appearance does matter, particularly to, and maybe I'm going to be a little bit judgmental here or making some assumptions, and I might make some of my audience upset with me, and I don't mean to, but I think particularly to the younger kids, you know, today's sighted younger kids in general, you know, as I understand it, most of them kind of have baggy, sloppy jeans, and, you know, some kids even wear jeans with tears in them. But I just think that if you do that as a blind person, you're really hampering yourself. I just think that our appearance has to be kind of a little cut above what everybody else's is. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, yes, I agree with you on that we are judged by a different set of standards. I live in the heart of Silicon Valley here, where the big industry around here are people who write books and who give seminars in how to dress and how to act at a business lunch, because the majority of people that work in this area wear t-shirts, jeans, and the high-tech tennis shoes, and they eat fast food, so they don't know how to use eating implements.
Wow.
I've heard a number of interviews on the radio by the people that write these books and whatever, and you know they're doing they're thriving in Silicon Valley with these seminars.
Oh, that's interesting. That's it. We have a call. Let's bring them on in. Hi there. You're with Bernice and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, it's Sue Amateur.
Hi, Sue Amateur.
Sue. I was going to call for Roger, so tell him not to feel bad, but I didn't think I could call twice. So I
Oh, no, no. You could call twice.
Oh, I could have.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But I was finishing making John's dinner, so anyway. Let me ask, can I ask my Roger question first?
Sure, you can ask whatever you want. Get Roger.
Roger, pick up. Actually, whoever has a Roger question.
Or Marlena, you could probably answer it, but I'm just wondering, I'm not going to get there until real late Saturday night, so are you going to be recording the information access, especially the one on appliances?
Roger, the question is, and I'll let you give your answer and then I'll give what I think my answer is. The question is, are we going to be recording the Information Access Committee program, especially the session on appliances?
I certainly intend that that should happen, and I know that, and I've been asked to be sort of the monitor of the of whether we get the right equipment in the room and so forth, and I hope that all works out, because we wanted to have the assistive listening devices too, and that's all kind of part of the same audio system. But I can't say for sure. I think it's likely that it'll be recorded, and I'll do what I can to see that it is.
Okay, now I'll give you my answer. Yes. Because I'm going to bring my Plex Talk. So,
all right.
So even if it's not in the system, you know, even if we're not in the mixing system, we're going to record.
And Marlena can probably relate to this, too, having just remodeled her kitchen, and we just built a house. We have more knobs and buttons and things to push that I don't know what they do, then you can, and all the appliances beep. Have you noticed that? So the refrigerator beeps, the dishwasher beeps, the stove, but it doesn't tell you why.
It doesn't tell you anything. It just
beeps. And sometimes John will go, what is beeping? And sometimes the washer and dryer and dishwasher will all beep simultaneously. So.
Well, you know what our dryer does when it's through?
Oh,
it sends out a Morse code, a V in Morse code.
Oh, geez.
And I was always trying to, now why did they do that? And I think they probably thought, oh, victory, because drying is the last thing you do, right? Oh, victory, the wash is done. But
anyway.
Yeah, it'll be, at least I will be recording it, and if we can hook something up into the mixer, all the better, but you'll have access to it.
You know, on our light rail system, when they close the doors, the thing sends out does a V, Morse code V.
Does it?
Yeah. It was da, 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 da.
Yeah.
So our life is controlled by beeps, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Bernice, I've always enjoyed your women's concerns. And one of the things that you did years ago, and maybe you just burned out on it, but when I first came into ACB around 1990, I guess, you were doing the roles and role models.
And breakfast, I just wondered roles if and role models, yeah.
And I remember those breakfasts used to be packed.
You know, the one in San Francisco was the first one, and you were on that panel.
I was. I remember there was people just standing, you know, around the wall.
Well, you know what happened was I asked for a plated breakfast, and I went down in the room a few minutes before, and it was set up as a buffet.
Oh, dear.
And we had 103 tickets sold for that breakfast.
Now, tell us what is roles and role models.
Breakfast roles and role models was what we did, and describe it by the first one because it was, I wish I had recorded it. It was absolutely historic. It was we had Alma Murphy and Kathy Skivers and Sue Amateur and Pat Price. And my goal in that was, my whole concept about breakfast roles and role models was that we elect women to positions of authority within ACB, but what do we really know about them? And it was an attempt to get to know those people, you know, on a different level. And Alma Murphy was priceless.
Oh, yes.
She was the first person first woman in ACB to be a first vice president. And in 1975, she had been invited to what was then, what's now the World Blind Union, but it was the
World Council.
The World Council for the Welfare of the Blind, and it was the Women's March to Progress, and it was in Prague, I believe. And at the 75 convention in Mobile, Alabama, a resolution or a motion was made to give her $500 to help her with her trip to present her talk. And it was defeated. And, oh, did that absolutely rub me the wrong way. And to add insult to injury, they passed a can collection.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just, you know, that had eaten at me for years and years. So when Roger and I were at the President's Committee in St. Louis in the early 90s, she had invited us to her home for dinner one evening. And I talked with her about that. And she said, you know, that didn't bother me. She said, I ended up with a lot more money in the can. But, you know, I for me it was a principle that the organization did not support her. And I found that to be really sad. And
well,
then, see, by contrast, on the other side, we had Sue and Pat, who were, you know, younger working visually impaired women, and you know, their you know, viewpoints and things are certainly different. Alma Murphy kept saying, she said, I went to blind school, and they told us not to marry another blind person. So she said, I wasn't very good at that. I married a deafblind man. And then she said, they told us not to have children. And she said, I wasn't very good at that. I had six children. And then she said, then I was editor of the Braille Forum, and I wasn't very good at that. You know, she was excellent at everything. I mean, you know, she married a deafblind man. I don't know if either of you remember, but there used to be a magazine called Good Cheer.
I remember that.
Yeah, whether it still exists, but her husband Jack Murphy and she used to edit that magazine, and for years and years and years. And he supported his family and supported them in good style by caning chairs.
Wow.
And
which means he wasn't proud, you know, too proud to do what he had to do to make a living.
That's right.
And he made a good living at it. And
I just think, Bernice, and I know that happened for several years even after that, where you had
mm-hmm.
the roles
mm-hmm.
and role models.
Well,
right?
Some people felt that it wasn't, you know, that it sort of had run its course. And I think it's something that could be revisited again.
Oh, I think it should be. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Mm-hmm. I think especially for the young blind coming up.
Yes.
They don't
mm-hmm.
realize, and I realize everything isn't, you know, hunky-dory, but I don't think they have any notion of what struggles we had. And believe me, when I was up on that panel, I mean, I felt kind of dwarfed by Alma and Kathy. I mean,
oh, and I didn't even mention about, you know, Kathy Skivers.
And Kathy has battled her whole life. I mean,
raised five sons and has gone through, you know, she lost her one, well, her two younger sons were attacked, and one of which was killed when he was about 18 years old.
Well, I think what I think that Sue is bringing up a really good point uh-huh. here, though, and that is that younger blind, and I'll say women in this instance, since
yes.
it's the Women's
uh-huh.
Concerns Committee, but younger blind women, I don't want to offend you kids, but I don't think
they
sometimes
don't have any notion.
You don't have a clue.
not only do we have to deal with the blindness issue, all right? But
mm-hmm.
really, up until fairly recently in the organized blind, there was a high degree of sexism. When I
mm-hmm.
ran to be president in the old WSAB in 1970, I had to run for two or three years before they thought I was good enough because they thought I was just the girl that made the drinks.
Mm.
I mean, and it's different now to some extent, but
mm-hmm.
believe me, just like you were telling your Alma Murphy story,
mm-hmm.
if one of the boys had wanted to go to the World Blind Union, they'd have ponied up that money in a heartbeat.
Yeah,
you know that.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I think another thing, too, is that we need to give some focus for young blind women on how to be assertive, mm-hmm. you know, that whether it's assertive in a social situation or if someone is making advances that they don't want.
Yeah, sexual mm-hmm. harassment
yeah.
happens in the blind community just like anywhere
Absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so no means no, and let's really spend some time and talk about that and understand that and that it is okay to say mm-hmm. no. And I don't think that's dealt with anywhere.
Right? I doubt very much that it is. What would really be cool, I think, if we could get some money, and that's always the issue, isn't it? But wouldn't it be neat if we could come up with some little publications that we could give to the blind women? They don't have to be long, but, you know, what is sexual harassment? I'm not sure that any good publications are available for blind women about breast cancer, and if there are, then we need to get that information out. Or, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of things are on the Internet, but that's not always available to everybody.
Well, see, last year, Marlena got a grant from the Northern Florida Susan G. Komen Foundation for us to bring the Mammacare people to do a workshop, and it was well done. Unfortunately, we didn't have a very big attendance, and I never know why or how, you know, the attendance is working, but they did a wonderful job. They even brought accessible, they made little accessible, what do you call those, not tickets, but, well, they were essentially tickets for door prizes and that sort of thing, and they had them. They were tactile shapes.
See, and I think so, it would be great to try that again for Louisville if we get the money.
Uh-huh.
I think there's, of course, a lot of people don't want to deal with issues like, you know, breast cancer or women's heart health because people are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We're a convention to have a good time, and yet I think it's like anything. It's an educational process.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that was the one thing that I haven't mentioned yet, that we do have one more day, one more program item, and that's on Thursday, and it's from 2 until about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's going to be on women's heart health, and the presenter is a lady named Shelley Nelson, and she's from the Fairview Southdale Hospital Cardiac Rehabilitation Center. She's an RN, and she is visually impaired.
Whoa.
And wow.
She's going to be bringing, there will be some handouts in Braille and large print. And so we will have, you know, something to deal with on that issue. But we've done the breast health issue 3 times. We did it in 94 in Chicago, and we did it in 2002 in Houston, and we did it last year. And we keep revisiting it because the convention moves around, each time we mostly have a whole new set of attendees, and we're reaching more and more people. And last time it was very heartwarming to have some cancer survivors and breast cancer survivors in the audience.
And you know what, Bernice, if we help one or two women, we've done a good work.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to tie up the line too long, but I just, the roles and role models, I just thought was so terrific. And I wasn't saying that because I was on the panel, by the way. I just think it's so great that we need to teach all of our, and men mm-hmm. came to the breakfast too. It wasn't just women,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think role model.
Yeah, well,
really...
I didn't have any choice.
Oh, Roger, you did too. You could have.
Well, you know.
You could have stayed home and watched Jeopardy.
What I thought was interesting is they got staff in there and they started putting plates of things on the tables, you know, and I told them to serve the head table, and I guess they didn't get the head table properly served, and they didn't really serve the tables properly either. And this one person said to me afterwards, she said, that was a wonderful breakfast. She said, they gave me a plate, and it had 7 sweet rolls on it.
Oh, my God. gosh, talk about roles and role models.
It was intended to be passed around to everybody at the table.
Oh, dear.
She thought it was for her, and she ate the whole thing.
hey, but we all survived, right, Bernice?
We did. And it was so, you know, the panel was so, you know, it was just so fascinating and whatever that it, you know, you sort of didn't, the food was, you know.
The food was secondary.
Yeah.
Well, it usually is at these things.
Don't you just wish that those are the things, you know, like we weren't recording things back then, but I remember I just thought Alma and Kathy were very, I mean, they were survivors and they were tough women.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm on the committee next year, I'm going to push for us to do that because I think we have some new folks. I think we have some young folks, and I think it's a great idea. And really,
well, as Marlena knows, at our convention, Bernice, every year we do an employment panel. I do it just for that reason because I want the young people that are there to know that blind people are employed and. Mm-hmm. You know, that we've struggled to keep employed because mm-hmm. all we hear is, you know, blind people don't work, blah, 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 blah. You know, we need more blind people working, but we also have a lot of blind people who do work and who have mm-hmm. struggled for their accommodations. And
mm-hmm.
so, anyway, I've monopolized this long enough.
Well,
so,
that's all right.
Always good to talk with you, Sue.
So, Marlena, John is enjoying you and Gary's little for Father's Day.
Oh, good.
Yes. Buddy had me pour it because he just can't do it himself.
I see. Okay. Well, it's bigger than Buddy, so
yes, it is.
It's
so.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well,
bye.
You take care. Bye-bye. You go enjoy some, too.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
866-666-7926. We'll keep Bernice for a few minutes longer and then probably let you go off into the wilds of Silicon Valley there. But the women's heart health, let's talk about that a little bit so that it gets its fair share of information passed out here. That's going to be Thursday, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
At 2:00.
Mm-hmm.
And are there fees for any of the women's concern seminars?
No, not this year. I'm a firm believer in and not charging fees for these things unless it were a luncheon or a breakfast
mm-hmm.
where we absolutely do need to charge. The ACB Women's Concerns Committee has not had any funding from ACB for some years now, but we have been successful in getting some donations. And as people may remember, in 2005 in Las Vegas, when I was trying to do the makeup optional skin care workshop, the people that I asked couldn't come, but they were supportive of.
Were they ever!
And they sent us a wonderful donation of shower gels from Philosophy.
It was like a truckload of shower gels.
Well, you know what was interesting was Chris called Roger up and said, "Would you remind me what it was that Bernice was having sent to the convention?" And because they said they wanted to send us some samples, you know, and I said they were sending more samples than we could use just for women's concerns, and I felt that we could put them in the registration packets and whatever, and so I called Carla the next day, and she was already in Las Vegas, and I said, "What is it? You know, what arrived?" And she said that they were boxes that had 12 boxes within each carton, and they were labeled cocktail party kits. So I called up the regular number for Philosophy, and I said, could you tell me what's in a cocktail party kit? And she told me a margarita this and a pina colada that and a something or else other and a melon daiquiri. And she said, I said, how much are they? She said, they're $30. Would you like one? And I said, no, thank you.
No, I have more than I can handle.
I didn't tell her I had 1,600 of them waiting for me at the convention. and so So anyway, I hope that nobody drank any, even though they had the recipe for the drink on the bottle.
Oh, it was great shower gel. I still actually have some because, you know, we got two because Gary mm-hmm. registered and I registered, and he's just mm-hmm. not a shower gel kind of guy. and I, they're nice small sizes. I take them often when I travel.
Yes, that's what I've heard from a number of people, that they've used them for traveling and enjoyed them that way.
And so
that was sort of a hit. Well, if you multiply 30 times the 1,600 that they sent, that was a $48,000 donation.
That's pretty amazing.
And then quite overwhelming. and then last year you were successful in getting the grant for the Women's Breast Health workshop, and then I got the TheraBand for the Pilates workshop, and I also contacted L'Occitan because, most of their full-size products contain Braille labels, and they sent me sample sizes of two of their products, and we were able to share those with people, and I heard people saying, I tried that, and it was really great. And so I hope that people have enjoyed, you know, what we've been able to do outside of, you know, the lack of funding from ACB. I wasn't able to get that together for this year, but I think that we'll find that that the financial independence and the women's heart health will stand on their own, and that we hope that people will connect at the group of what message are you getting from me, and that people will be able to interact with one another throughout the week.
And I want to talk a little bit about the what message are you getting from me, since this has sort of been my brainstorm or brainchild or whatever you call it, and mm-hmm. we've only done it once, and I think I'm still feeling my way around this a bit, but I do want to share with listeners what I think it is. Now, the beauty of this is that it doesn't matter what I think it is, because the way this is structured, it really is kind of what the participants need or want uh-huh. at the time that it happens. But what I have often thought as a blind woman is that we as blind women very rarely have a chance to sit down with other blind women and say, I don't know how to do this, or I don't know. Here's a perfect example. I asked my manicurist just the other day if they're still selling those little silly frilly socks that you can wear with denim skirts and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Because of my foot injury, I can't wear my Birkenstocks, which is terrible. And so now I have to find some sort of a light closed-in shoe, but I don't want to wear nylons, and so I haven't seen those socks since the 80s, and so I didn't know if they still had them, and my manicure said, oh, yeah, they do. They still have them, and people wear them with dresses and skirts, and, you know. So that kind of information, but even more, what I was very happy with last year at the session was people began to share things that really hurt them, that they had never told anyone before. Uh-huh. And the only rule of this session is what is said behind the closed door stays behind the closed door. And we don't have men in the session. It's truly all women. And, you know, I think even the strongest women have things that they just want to be able to talk about and say and get a response to, or maybe even get a hug. And that's kind of my vision uh-huh. for this session. It doesn't have to be all sad and boohoo and weepy and isn't life really crappy. But if you feel that you have something that's making you sad, I know one member shared, something last year that she attends, something on a regular basis, and try though she might, she couldn't get the rest of the people at this particular event who were sighted. She couldn't get them to accept her. They were always nice to her, but there was always a distance.
Uh-huh.
And I think we face that. And I just think that women need an opportunity to talk about those kinds of things. So that's kind of what this crazy session is supposed to do. So, we'll see what happens.
I have always felt that when you go to convention, we spend so much time being talked to and not being able to talk with each other and share. And I really think that that's why these sessions are so valuable, is that this is an opportunity that we've all come from different parts of the country and we can share with one another. And it's like a sounding board. You don't know if other people are experiencing the same kinds of things. And when you find out that you're not alone in what you're experiencing, there's a lot of empowerment that goes with that and a lot of relief.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, anything you want to say before we wrap up here?
Well, I just hope that people will, women in particular, will be able to attend the three sessions that we have, and I know it's going to be a heavily attended convention, and that there are many, many things going on, particularly in the afternoon simultaneously, and it's hard to find a time to to schedule things, but we hope that people can catch at least one or more of the sessions.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on with us and spending time with us, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Have
Bye-bye.
A good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. Call Marlena now at 1-866-666-7926. That's toll free, 1-866-666-7926.
All right. We are back. We are live. We are in open forum. It's about 36 minutes past the hour. Let me go over here and fix a couple of things. There we go. All right. 866-666-7926 is the phone number to call. And this is open forum, so folks can call back, or, well, I guess, Sue, you can call back, since Sue was our only caller in the last hour, but, hey, that's fine. I always believe, as someone said to me, the reason when you don't get a lot of callers, it's because you're asking the questions we'd ask, and we do have a call. Let's bring him in. Hey, you're with Marlena. Who's this?
Wango de Tango, girl.
Hey, Wango de Tango, yourself. I'm still waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, I've got those things queued up to send to you. We've been, the mic's been busy as hell.
Well, I was just afraid that maybe I deleted it or missed it or darn something. Who knows?
No, I'm blaming it on the old email problems, you know? I mean, you're not the only judge that didn't get some of those great essays.
So. Oh, okay. Well, I'm awaiting.
You've got 15 coming at you.
Whoa. I'm going to be busy.
You got some reading to do, girl.
I reckon. How are you, Mr. Cooking in the Dark?
Man, we're doing great. We are doing great.
What's going on?
Well, just hanging loose. I just wanted to give you a call and break the news to everybody listening that we won't be at the convention.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had a little vacation snafu, I guess, and I had to make a decision about going to Minneapolis or going to St. Croix. So.
Well, darn.
St. Croix won and Minneapolis lost.
And you didn't pick Minneapolis.
No.
I can't believe it.
No, I was drawn back to the islands. It's the pirate in me, you know?
When are you going to St. Croix?
We're going to leave next Friday.
Wow.
We'll be down there for, until almost the 4th. So.
That is so cool. You're going to get some more of that good adobo spiced food?
There you go.
Yeah.
I saw
some adobo in the store the other
day. Yeah, you know, it was crazy. I mean, I'd never heard of it before. And then we go all the way to St. Croix, and we're eating these sautéed mushrooms that are just out of this world. I'm like, man, all right, you know, Deanne, come out here and tell me how you made these. So I just put a little adobo on. I'm like, get out of here. And then we come back, and then once we know what we're looking for, yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Made in Mexico.
I've never used it, though. What does it taste like?
You know, I can't really describe the taste. It's a blend of several different spices, but one advice for everybody, or piece of advice, I guess, is to get the non-salted version.
Oh, yeah, because I bet.
Because
yeah.
it does have a lot of salt in it.
Yeah,
get the non-salt, add your own salt, add your own pepper.
Yeah.
Don't overdo it because, man, you can, you know, put a little too much on there. But, it is kind of a bit of a spicy taste, but not overpowering, not like you're putting cayenne or like Tony Chachere's or something like that on it.
Hey, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
All right. I want you to talk about your Jell-O shots.
Oh, yeah. Jell-O shots are good.
All right. Now
if
for all of
in
my...
the Houston area, I have some in the fridge.
Oh,
chilled.
Shush. Just be quiet. I want to dedicate this answer to all of my friends who, like me, enjoy it when the cocktail hour rolls around. So go ahead and tell us about Jell-O shots.
Okay, to make Jell-O shots, it's super simple. You just... basically follow the package directions on the Jell-O, which I think if it's a small package of Jell-O, you boil one cup of water, and then you dissolve your gelatin into it, and then you're supposed to add one cup of cold water. Well, add one cup of cold vodka, one cup of rum, and you can break that down, you know, half a cup of water and a half a cup of rum or whatever, but the second stage, when you add the water, you just simply make it booze.
Wow.
That's it. Now, if you're using Everclear, whoo!
Oh, man, forget it. You're out of the earth.
But it's great flavor, and especially now with there's so many flavored rums and flavored vodkas out there.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking orange Jell-O and citron vodka.
There you go.
Oh!
That would be fabulous. Oh. Now, we use lemon-lime Jell-O and tequila.
Oh, wow.
Make a
margarita
Jell-O shot.
You have your little Jell-O-ritas.
Yeah, and now here's another little tip. If you want to, instead of having to pour them in the little cups, you know, and put the lids on them and all that stuff, like my sister-in-law does. She makes like 2,500 of them for our Halloween party or so. We had a bunch of them left over, so I chilled them up when Candace had a teacher's out-of-school celebration, you know. Last day of school, all the teachers came over here, and we hit them up with some Jell-O shots. But add one package of Knox gelatin to the hot water and the Jell-O mix, and then you can pour them into, like, an aluminum pan, you know, or a cake pan or something like that, and let them set up. And then when they set up, you just simply cut them into squares.
Wow.
And then, you know, scoop them out with a spatula and serve them that way. And with the Knox gelatin in them, they won't melt.
So how do you eat these things? Do you eat them with your fingers or do you eat them with a spoon?
If they're in the cup, you take your tongue and lick all the way around the sides of the cup. And then let your tongue work in underneath it and flick it out and swallow it whole like an oyster.
Oh, my gosh.
They're great. And another little tip, y'all, we found out, if you don't, when you put them in the cup,
yeah. And
put, you know, you sometimes at Sam's or Costco or whatever, you can buy, like, you know, thousands of those little bitty cups, like little butter cups and
lids.
If you put them in there and you don't put them in the refrigerator to chill, they'll keep for a long time in their liquid state.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the ones that I pulled out that we used, you know, at the end of May were the ones from Halloween still.
So, now, by the little cup, do you mean, like, those little tiny, sometimes, like, if you order food, you know, Chinese food, you get these little cups of sauce.
Little butter cup or
Yeah,
I guess the best thing, a little butter cup or a little sauce. They're about maybe in 2 ounces, I think, or an ounce and a half or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty tiny.
Well, we haven't tried this yet in our house.
Oh, my gosh, they're so good.
I have a feeling it's going to happen.
Yeah, and they're so easy. You know, people are just blown away by them. But you need to adjust.
Literally.
Yes, and especially if you can sneak some of that. You know, the best way to make them is try to make them to where they can't taste the, you know, you don't want to taste the booze. So that's why I don't recommend Everclear, because it's so strong.
Oh, Everclear is horrible.
It takes away from the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had one of the assistant principals from Candace's school came over, and he went outside and he came back in with his pillow and his blanket after he did a few Jell-O shots. I stay in here.
That's funny.
Right on. That's perfect planning.
Now let me put you on another spot.
Okay.
So we're fair to everybody with the drinks we discuss. Last year, in fact, I probably have it here in my M-Power next to me, but last year I snagged from your wonderful Cooking in the Dark show an easy recipe for lemonade. Is that in your head?
Yes.
Oh, go for it.
1 cup of lemon juice. Let me think here. It's one cup of lemon juice, and it makes a half a gallon. So what would that be left? That would be seven. Seven cups of water, and, you know, that doesn't sound right.
No, because a half a gallon, wait.
It makes a half a gallon. So I'm thinking it was 2 cups of lemon juice and the rest water, and then 1 cup of sugar.
Yeah, that sounds more correct.
I think it was 2 cups and then 6, and then, because you end up putting 8 cups in altogether.
And I just found it.
Was I close?
Combine 1 cup boiling water and 1 cup sugar in a jar and shake.
Okay.
Pour into the pitcher. Add 2 cups lemon juice.
Okay.
Add 5 cups cold water and stir.
Okay.
And then, of course, I've
been making it recently. I've been omitting the boiling water part.
And then, of course, it says you can add 1 1/2 cups vodka or rum.
There you go. You got to dress it up for the after-hour cocktail.
Right, exactly.
My goodness. We are going to have fun at the ACB convention, aren't we?
I can see it now. Jell-O shots and Marlena's lemonade.
There we go.
So what are we going to cook up on the next Cooking in the Dark?
Next week on Cooking in the Dark, we do, if I am remembering correctly, we go back all the way to show number 1.
Ooh.
The original back in June of 03, the first recipe we ever made. It's an oven-fried honey chicken.
So were you nervous when you did show number 1?
No, not really.
Really?
I was more worried about getting it all done. You know, because back in those days, it was on Phil Parr's, you know, Blind Handyman
show. Yeah.
And I had basically 45 minutes to whip out a meal.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, no editing, no, I mean, we had to fly. You know?
So wow. It
was, and, in fact, I'll tell you all, that first show was so fun because I told Skylar was helping me. I said, look, if I make a mistake or actually, you know, grab the wrong thing or something, just be quiet. You know, don't say anything. And bless her heart, I put the chicken in the oven, and then there was a wooden spoon that was on the cookie sheet, and it fell off onto the element. So it's on fire. And she didn't say a word. She just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and whispered in my other ear, you know, fire.
She's a good little daddy's girl, isn't she?
Yeah. It's like, oh, look out.
Did you have a good daddy's day today?
Yes, we had a great day.
Yeah.
We went to Candace's brother's, and he boiled shrimp and crab legs. And
gosh, everything you do is about food. I'm going to come live with you.
Man, I tell you, you know, we do eat a lot, don't we?
Gosh.
Golly.
Really?
We drink a lot, one or the other.
One or the other, I know.
I know. It all stems around that.
Yeah,
we had a good day. The doggies got me some big old coffee cups.
Oh.
So I don't have to make so many trips back down, you know, downstairs from the office to the coffee pot.
Oh, that's nice.
So that was really sweet.
That's nice.
So it's all good. All good.
And the mice are doing well at the Blind Mice Mart?
Yeah, you know, Thursdays roll around and they're ready to bug out.
Well, I don't blame them.
I need y'all. You know, we've got these cool new onion dicers in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've been around for a while. You know, QVC sells them, and
yeah.
I've seen them advertised at other stores for, like, you know, $30.
Yeah.
And we finally got them in through our distributor, and my goodness, they are so easy to use.
How do they work?
It's almost like an alligator jaw. You know, like an it kind of works like an alligator mouth.
Yeah.
You dice, well, take depending on the size of your onion, you either cut it in half or cut it or quarter it.
Yeah.
And, you know, cut both ends off, of course, and then, you know, peel the dead, you know, layers of onion off.
Yeah.
And just lay them on this grid, close the door, snap it shut, twish.
Wow.
And diced onions, diced tomatoes, diced bell pepper, carrots, celery.
I got to get me one of those.
Oh, they are the bomb, and they're only like, they're $17.50.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So they are just, they're cool. I mean, I was blown away. You know, I made some guacamole the other night, and it was like, Candace, like, there's a lot of onions in there. And I go, I know, but it's so cool. Because, you know, it's like three parts. The bottom part is like the holding bowl or the container area.
Wow.
You know, where they go
cool.
into.
Yeah.
And the middle area, it comes apart in three pieces for easy washing. And you get this little dude that it looks like a little hair pick to, you know, get in there and clean it out. And I tell you, I finally just put my mind at ease and decided I'm going crazy trying to figure out how it does it. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Wow.
You know, I mean, by going through this grid, you think it would, you know, like those potato
squish
slicers.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, it would
yeah.
come out the same, and, you know, hey, it doesn't, I don't know. It's magic.
That's amazing.
It's magic.
Well, you know, the things that I have from you that I love, I mean, well, everything I have from you I love, but the craziest thing that I love is my mats, my cutting mats.
Those chopping mats are incredible, aren't they?
They are just so, and I love the story. I don't know if you told it on this show or not, but apparently some of them have fruit on them and some of them have chicken on them, and someone was told by a sighted person, wait, you can't use that. It's got a picture of fruit and you're cutting chicken.
Yeah. I knew they were colored, you know, like there's a red one, a blue one, I think a green and yellow or whatever, but I didn't know they had pictures of fruit or, you know, whatever food they were recommended to cut on. I'm like, hey, that's too much, you know, that's Big Brother. That's too much information.
They're very
there.
Cool because they're different sizes. And there's a real small one and then kind of a medium one and a bigger one. And they're flexible. So
flexibility is what it's going to be.
Yeah, because you just take it right over to your pan, sort of roll it up and take it over to your pan and then push the stuff down in there and hear it all go as it hits,
that's
yeah.
it. That beautiful.
Hey, we
sound
could do great
business.
Sound effects. You and I.
Oh
we could
yeah,
great
man.
Sound
so
effects.
We get it all on this show.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
It. That's it. Yeah, this customer called. She goes, "I'm walking around listening to your show with the headphones on, and I'm laughing, and my family's looking at me like I'm crazy." And I'm like, "Man, I wonder what knucklehead thing I did that time."
Oh, well, you and Cheryl have a wonderful time
on that
show.
Oh, we have great
fun.
I'm sure she rolls her eyes and puts up with me.
Well,
yeah, I got to love her for that, you know.
Yeah,
and Tim does a great job going in and editing the show.
Oh, Tim is stellar. He's really
cool. Have you enjoyed the little chicken
That's very cool.
Yeah, we're trying to get more little sound effects in there to have more. Got to have fun in the kitchen, you know?
You really do.
And if you can't have fun, then you got to have a glass of wine and go back in, and then you'll have fun.
There you go. I'm there.
You know, like that old Cajun chef, you know, he always sat down with a glass of red wine.
That's right. And then who's the chef that used to... maybe it's the same guy. I can't think of his name though, but he would cook with wine and he had his glass of red wine there and he'd take the bottle of wine, he'd pour some wine and he'd go, "Oh, I don't think that's enough." And you'd hear glug, glug, glug and
right,
he'd pour more
right,
and then he'd go,
"Oh,
we better put some more in the glass." I
can't
think of his name.
Oh no, he's passed away.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
The Cajun guy has. You know,
yeah.
He always tells those great Boudreaux
yeah.
and Thibodeau jokes.
Yeah.
He is hilarious. In fact,
yeah.
I saw the Galloping Gourmet, you know, from Days
oh,
of Yore.
Oh, my gosh. Brand
new. And he was doing a cooking show, but he was talking about, you know, it was a nutritional show.
Yeah.
It was almost like an info commercial, I thought it was at first when I had to go back to it and check it back out. But, you know, substituting this for that and, you know, how much grams of fat and yada, yada, yada
yeah.
you lose and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. That was pretty neat to see all that going on.
Well, that is cool.
But anyway,
well,
I just want to say, hey, the GDUI, the guide dog.
Yeah,
user,
yeah.
We're going to have a few blind mice items in the auction there.
Oh, very cool.
There is a cool little black lab welcome sign.
Oh, very cool.
There is a leopard pet bed.
Ooh.
A leopard pet carrier, a leopard bowl.
Oh,
I think
very
we have a
cool.
fish-shaped cat bowl. You know,
cool.
we've set up. It's bright pink.
Very
and
cool.
What else is there? I'm trying to think. There's a couple other gadgets. We sent them some little Christmas ornaments, like little best friend. There's a couple black labs, a couple shepherds.
Oh, that's
and
neat.
And a couple goldens. And then there's some little puppy figurines we sent up, too, that I'm not sure if they're going to use them for door prizes or whatever.
Oh, that's great.
And then
great.
Also there'll be a Cooking in the Dark cookbook on the way up there. So
oh,
be in the
fabulous.
Well.
Fabulous.
So hopefully get them. Support them a little bit and get some funds into their wonderful organization, too.
Well, thank you so much for doing that, and maybe you'll come to convention next year.
Well, Louisville, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're already, Cheryl and I are already making some plans for that. We
all
don't
right.
need to divulge anything too much yet because we have to see if the finances are there, but we're talking about getting a room and doing two or three live cooking shows.
Cool.
If we can get everything lined up, you know,
cool.
get the recording equipment and yada, yada, yada,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah,
so,
that'd be cool.
That may be something I'll be talking to you about later on, too, to see if we can get stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah.
To do some live shows and, I don't know, have like maybe a $10 admission fee or something.
Yeah.
To go to the scholarship fund and
sounds
go
good.
From there. Man, girl, you are going to, some of these scholarship essays are fabulous.
Well, you get them my way and
so
I'll get them back.
So creative these kids are and you just want to give money to every one of them, you know. But
yeah.
We only have so much to go around this year.
Well, you get them my way, and I'll get them back to you.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, sir.
That's great. Hey, thanks. You guys have a great time. Are you going to be on the air next week?
Yes.
Live? Okay.
Yes, yes.
If I can find a phone, I will give you all a call from the island.
All right. Well, you enjoy the
Rub
islands. Yeah, goodbye.
If not, I'll have a rum and coke for you. Okay?
Thanks.
All right.
All right.
Bye, Marlena.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, that's going to about wrap it up for us tonight. It's... coming close to the time where we need to begin to shut down. I always love to hear from Dale. Dale is, I don't know if you heard Dale when he was on my show, but Dale has an incredibly wonderful story to tell. And, we'll take this last call. Hey, you're the last caller. Who's this?
Hey, hi, Marlena. It's Jesse.
Hi, Jesse. Real quick, what's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just wanted to congratulate you on the show and wish everybody out there a very happy Father's Day.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And you'll be glad to know that I am one of the people here who is officially now switched from Windows over to the Mac OS system.
Well, there you go. Congratulations.
And it's been doing okay. I'm quite impressed by it all.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, listen, you're right. You're right at the end of the show, and I've got to do a bit of a wrap-up, so I'm going to give you a quick hug and ask you to call me again.
Sure.
All right, you take care.
Marlena.
All right, stay cool in Florida.
Sure.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye. All right, that will be the last call. We'll ask Gary, the board guy, to turn the lines off. Want to remind you that next week is a very special show. We will have the candidates for president on for the entire show. I'm encouraging you to use the email address of convention@acbradio.org to send your questions in advance. Now, just because you've sent a question in does not mean you can't try to call. But I do encourage you to send your questions in advance. They will not be shared with the candidates. There are three candidates for president this year, and each one will, and I've got a confirmation from two, I just need to get to the third person, and each one will be given the same amount of time to answer the questions, so that's why, you know, we could conceivably spend 10 minutes on a question, so if you can possibly do so, send in your questions to convention@acbradio.org. The candidates will be with us for the full 2 hours next Sunday night. And if you don't send in the questions live, that's okay. You can give us a call at 866-666-7926. The following week, you will be listening at this time to the opening session of the 46th Annual Convention of the American Council of the Blind. And I encourage you to listen to the opening session. There's a big surprise. That's all I can say about that. I'm Marlena. It's been wonderful to be with you, and I appreciate so much that you make my program a part of your Sunday night in the U.S. and your Monday morning elsewhere. If you're listening on the replay, thank you so much for finding the program interesting enough to listen on the replay. Have a great day, have a great week, and we'll be back next week with all them there presidential candidates right here at the mainstream of ACB Radio.